Well, we will have our three in a row a little later this morning because I'm very pleased to welcome Professor Saudi, who's the Chief of Cardiology at the Princess Grace Hospital here in Monaco. Good morning, Professor Saudi.
Good morning, Rob.
Very nice to see you. And you've come in association called Grace Penn Medicine, which links Monaco Hospital to the world-famous hospital in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. This is called the Grace Penn Medicine Association, as you correctly said. And this is an association which intends to provide a huge facilities for the doctors from the Center Hospital Princess Grace to get trained in for periods of variable duration in the hospitals of the University of Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, that's also going to be very beneficial for people with Monaco health insurance, isn't it?
Not exactly directly, very indirectly by raising the level of the doctors. The patients from Monaco with or without health insurance will have kind of a bonus as to have a prime access to a remote second opinion if they need it, if they feel the need to have it, if they have some problems understanding their medical situations or if they have been offered some surgery or delicate treatment that is more, they feel more aggressive. Or they want to have a second opinion. Everybody wants to have a second opinion in general about your health. So that would be offered, but that would be against money. It's not going to be free, but that's going to be facilitated and probably cheaper with us than if you go directly there.
Okay. How long have you been at the Princess Grace Hospital, Professor? It's been quite a long time now, hasn't it?
18 years,
18
yes.
years, yeah. And I know your colleague, Dr. Zarkan, extremely well because she treats me.
Which is... you are the living proof of the quality of the medicine which is delivered in the hospital, Princess Grace.
It is absolutely fantastic. I mean, when you go there for a checkup, I mean, you get a real workout and, you know, they make sure that everything is going well. Where are we with heart health today? I mean, it's obviously a leading killer of people around the world, but the techniques and the technology has come on leaps and bounds over the last decade, hasn't it, really?
Oh, yeah. Not only over the last decade, it's constantly evolving. It's evolving to a speed which parallel that of techniques and computers in general. The whole society evolves towards something more and more technical, and that applies to cardiology. In the Hospital Princess Grace, we have the cardiology department is mostly turned towards the treatment of heart rhythm disorders. And in that field, the possibility to understand it, to map the arrhythmia inside the heart with special devices has grown exponentially. And we are now here at the peak of the world level. We have the best equipment possible. And it's not just for saying the best. It is truly the best. For example, to give you just a brief example, if you want to understand an arrhythmia, some 3 years ago, we put some device into the heart, which is called a catheter, was a probe, and we look how the electrical impulse propagates inside the heart. And it took us something like 25 minutes to acquire something like 150 points where we could localize geographically and in terms of electrical propagation. So we draw a map inside a computer. It was 150 points in 25 minutes. Now it is 50,000 points in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So it's an incredible accuracy for understanding of complex mechanism, which was not possible 3 years ago. And we have this equipment. We're the first one to have it in France. And so it's extraordinary.
And Monaco is also very fortunate to have the cardiothoracic centre over on the
port. Absolutely,
Hall. So
yeah.
Is anything you can't really deal with at the Princess Grace Hospital, you can refer patients to that.
The cardiology has become so complex that even with that single field, we need several subspecialties. Cardiac surgery is obviously one, has always been. But even within cardiology, we have some things which have been done there, like dilation of arteries or valves, and we take care of heart failure and arrhythmia. So we share the thing, yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about heart health. Obviously, we know smoking is a no-no. I'm quite interested in your view on the relation of alcohol to the heart.
Oh, that's a very complex problem. It's a very fashion and complex problem. For decades, it has been said that drinking a little bit of wine, especially a red wine, owing to the flavonoids that are into it, was protective for the heart. And there was some sort of a J curve. That is, if you drank one glass of red wine, your life was longer. Two glasses, it was slightly longer. With three glasses, it totally reverts and it gets shorter. So that suggests a benefit of small doses of red wine, mostly. Some similarity has been found with other sources of alcohol, but the red wine is better. And it was said so. And recently there was sort of a debate which was launched by the current health minister of France, Agnès Buzyn, who said that there was not at all any benefit if drinking alcohol, which contradicts those epidemiological observations. And the reason is, and that has always been known, is that with even a little bit of alcohol, even a glass a day, you slightly increase the amount of GI, digestive cancer. And I personally think that the benefit of prevention of atherosclerosis, which is a main provider of heart attack, surpasses the increase in cancer. So there is a benefit, but it's just for small doses. Obviously, it is very difficult to manipulate in terms of public health. You say, just drink a glass that is 12 cubic centimeter of red wine a day. Is very difficult. I mean, a few people will be able to be as wise as to follow this small amount of red wine. But if we could do it, I still think that it's beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, because people are a bit confused about what's the safe limits, because in the UK recently they lowered the guideline to 14 units of alcohol a week, whereas in France I think it's still 21. So what is a safe level?
You mean for driving?
No, the government recommended that men and women should not drink more than 14 units of alcohol per week. And in France, I think the guideline is still 21 units per week.
Well, I did not follow exactly the guidelines for nations on various level. The most simple thing would be to say, don't drink alcohol. That's right. The most simple. But if there is a small incremental benefit of drinking a little bit, it will be lost. I think President Macron, strongly supporting the French wine production, of course, said, don't bother with alcohol, it's not a big deal. I think that if you take all the elements of that problem, including mood, including happiness, including gastronomy, it would be a bit stupid to say don't be radical, don't be extreme. You could drink a little bit, but numbers, I don't think we can agree on something which would be a definite number for everybody.
It's understandable that people do get confused. I mean, another thing is saturated fats. The advice on saturated fats has changed such a lot over the last few years. We were told we shouldn't eat too much meat. Then all of a sudden it's the unsaturated fats which were found in these margarines which were bad. And now we are told that we can have more saturated fat. What's the truth?
If there is a debate which is ongoing with various opinion over time, it means that there is no clear solution. What's clear, what's simple, it's always is known and it gets fixed. So the saturated fats are not good. And I can only remain very general to eat a lot of fish. If you don't eat red meat at all, it's certainly better. If you eat white meat, it's good because you need proteins, and that's mostly meat that brings proteins. Also fish, but a little bit less. Also, there is another problem with fish, it is the saturation of the possibility of getting fish. So very, very complex question. I certainly cannot give you a simple answer.
Well, I think everyone's agreed that it's cholesterol that's the real enemy, but there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, which leads us on to the subject of statins, prescribed to millions of people around the world, and 99% of the time they do a great job. But there is some controversy surrounding statins, isn't there?
Absolutely. The controversy mostly stems about the primary prevention with statins. Secondary prevention, that is, if you have already had a major heart event, such as myocardial infarction or something like that, or even a stroke, there's no real debate. I mean, it definitely prolongs life. It definitely diminishes sudden deaths, total deaths, relapses. So it's very, very beneficial. Now, in terms of primary prevention, if you simply have high cholesterol, should you take statins? Well, I think, again, these we'll get to personal opinion now. I think that taking small levels of mild statins is certainly very good because it has no real side effects, and it lowers your LDL, the bad cholesterol. By the way, the term good and bad cholesterol is a little bit schematic, because if we know that the LDL is a bad cholesterol, i.e., the lower you have, the longer you live, that's not really apply with the HDL. Manipulation of LDL has been done by statins, and it works. I mean, it diminishes the relapses, and you do better if you take statins in secondary prevention. You don't do better if you increase the HDL by any artificial mean, pharmacological mean. So good and bad is a little bit schematic.
And there have been reports about aspirin as well, the use of aspirin. A lot of people self-medicate with aspirin thinking it's going to stop them having a heart attack, but that's not necessarily a good idea, is it?
Yeah, well, it's always, you don't take any active drug without having a price to pay. If you take a little bit of aspirin, you will increase a little bit the number of gastric and digestive hemorrhage. And you may not know that you already have a lesion which is prone to bleeding if it's in favorable conditions, such as the intake of aspirin. So some people will experience side effects, and sometimes it can be lethal. But it's very rare. I'm not sure people should self-medicate. The problem is complex enough, even for doctors, for not letting the patient think that he can find his own solution. I know it's very fashion to... A good doctor should always inform the patient, tell him the pros and cons in a debate, and make an agreement of what's good for him. But I don't think the patient should, on himself, make the choice of taking or not taking a drug which is active.
In terms of first aid treatment, though, it's quite important if somebody is actually having a heart attack to try and get some aspirin inside them as soon as possible.
Yeah, if you already have had a heart attack, yes.
Mm. Okay, just give us briefly your recipe for a healthy heart. How should we live our lives to the full and maintain a healthy heart, if that's not too complex a question?
It's not a complex question. It's a complex answer, though. Probably there are things on which you will not be able to act. These are the genes. If your parents are prone to having heart attacks, you will be prone to have heart attacks. What everybody can do is pay attention to food, what you eat. Eat a little bit of meat, red meat, try to avoid. I mean, it's not... You can have sometimes. You don't have to be extremist, but you can have sometimes. But don't put it on. Don't take it on a regular basis. Eat white meat. Eat a lot of fish. A lot of vegetables. A lot of fruits. The Mediterranean regime, which is very good, has proven to prolong life in Crete, in particularly. Exercise, number two. Exercise. The exercises. That's an endless point. Exercise does not mean exercise like hell. I mean, if you exercise too much, it can be dangerous too. But the level of to which the danger appears is so high that it will not concern a lot of people. So exercise regularly, at least 3 times a week, at least a half an hour, to the point that you sweat. Number three, and that might surprise you, be happy, because being happy render you healthy. By being happy, I mean... have normal social ties with people, because social ties has been under-evaluated, but they are extremely important for your health. If you are happy, if you're married particularly, this protects, surprisingly. It's better to be married than to be single, and to have a good relation with other people, part of association, be active, have a role in life in the society, this will also be protective. Though there are plenty of other small things, taking some drugs. Plenty of things are totally useless that people believe in and take some, such as nutriment, supplement, vitamin B, totally useless. It's pure fashion, pure marketing, pure business.
But cod liver oil, that's quite good, isn't it?
Cod liver oil is good. Mm. Well, again, it's good, but in the very, very sophisticated primary or secondary prevention, it's not that obvious. I know one of the pro of the statin war, that is somebody who fought against the large intake of statin in France. I know him personally well. And he strongly said, you should not take statin, that's bullshit, that's lies, and this. He also promoted the use of fish oil, On large studies, it was shown that it was not efficacious. So it's a lot of fashion.
Yeah, you have to have a very good source of omega-3, don't you? Because, I mean, some of the stuff you can buy online or over the counter isn't terribly good quality.
Don't do that. And never buy online, because you don't know what you have.
Mm. Finally, Professor Saudi, you were telling me you have another string to your bow, that you like you like singing and organising concerts.
Yeah, well, that's far more personal. Well, I have an old, very good relation with a wonderful British pianist whose name is Stuart Barham. And he was a guy who was a pianist for Cats in London at the Creation in the early 80s. And with him, we organized shows very often, small concerts, big concerts. And we organized something with the doctors of the Hospital Princess Grace, which is called the Cabaret Médical, Medical Cabaret. And Stuart is the musical director of it. And he is acting in such a way that people's from doctors from the hospital are on stage. And the next one is in December the 2nd, which is a Sunday night at the Salle des Étoiles in the Summer Sporting in Monaco. And we are on stage, sing and dance, mostly musicals, and there are plenty of numbers, and all that is for a charity purpose. It's for raising funds for an association which is called Monaco Aide and Presence, Aide et Présence in French, and that works very well. Last time in 2016, it was for the Red Monegasque Red Cross for the refugees which are being taken care of by them in Ventimiglia. So it works very well. It's a wonderful event, and you will be able to see your doctors singing and dancing on stage for the good purpose. So please come. You will like it.
Is singing good for you?
Of course. Singing is like breathing. It's like drinking fresh water. Yeah, I told you, be happy if you want to be healthy. And if you're not very happy, just sing. Just start singing. You'll see life will be much better.
Do you sing to your patients ever?
Of course. I sing. For small operations, if the patient is awake, like, for example, a pacemaker implantation, I will not only sing, but I will offer to the patient various songs, depending on who he is, which culture he is in, and if I know the song, and I will start singing, and the patient immediately completely forgets that he's been operated, starts smiling. And if he's in a good mood, I ask him to sing with me.
Right.
And he sings with me. And at the end of it, he doesn't recall that he has had a pacemaker implant. He just recalled that the surgeon was singing. And that's a good souvenir for him. And he's happy. And I'm happy. So everybody's happy.
Wonderful. I'm sure we'd all like to thank you and your team at the Princess Grace Hospital for the wonderful work you do and the amount of lives you save every year. It's just fantastic to have such a great team at our disposal.
It's been a pleasure seeing you, Rob.
And best of luck with the concert and best of luck with the Grace Penn Foundation as well.
Thank you.